Hebrews 11 for this morning, verses 32 through 35, and Lord willing, we'll be finishing out this chapter next week. We want to begin our reading at verse 32. And what yet should I say? For the time will fail me relating or explaining concerning Gideon and both Barak and Samson and Jephthah and both David and Samuel and the prophets. Very important phrase here for those of you especially following in the Greek text. It says, who through faith. There are 16 verbs that are working off of and in relation to the term through faith. That's very important. Because the things that we're going to study this week, we're going to study 11 of the 16 verbs this week, all have to do with what the human judgment would think as success in conquering. But next week we're going to study people who suffered for the sake of following the Lord, and they all did it through faith. Faith was not a means of getting rid of difficult circumstances. Everything these people did, they did it through faith. He says, who, verse 33, through faith overcame or conquered kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched or extinguished the power of fire, literal translation, fled the edges of swords. They were empowered from weakness. They became strong in war. And they caused the armies of the foreigners to bend or to yield. Women received their dead from out of the resurrection. And many were beaten to death, not having received their deliverance. It's the word redemption. Not having received their redemption or deliverance in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. We've been following the list the writer of Hebrews has been giving us in chapter 11 about those who are living by faith. Faith is being presented to us as the influence and the persuasion that is beyond the human ability. The persuasion that comes from God. To do things that are humanly illogical and unreasonable. The most prominent thing to me in the chapter was Moses, who, when he became of age to inherit all the things that Egypt had to offer, he refused that in order to choose to suffer with God's people rather than enjoy the temporary pleasures of sin. That takes faith. Who would give up the temporary pleasures of sin in order to suffer with the Lord's people? Moses considered and esteemed that the afflictions of God's people were of greater treasure than all the treasures of Egypt. It's precious. Suffering and experiencing Christ is more precious than silver and gold. More precious than any money or any object that we could have. That's amazing. That's by faith. Because it's totally against the human reason and human logic. But he now comes to a portion where he wanted to give thorough explanation about some of the other people in the Old Testament, but he says time has failed him in verse 32. Time will fail me, it's a future tense, to relate, more literally, to narrate thoroughly about seven people. Verse 32 mentions seven people. I'll share with you a little bit about them as we go through as to why he would mention them. And by the way, everything in verses 33 and 34 and 35 is a general description of what happens with these people, without getting specific. But in verse 32, first of all, with Gideon, in Judges chapter 7, it tells us about Gideon. God called Gideon to rise up against the Philistines. But he didn't want to. He was hesitant. When he finally called for the army to come together, 32,000 men came to fight with Gideon, and God told Gideon, we're going to go through some processes here to whittle this thing down. And he whittled the 32,000 down to 300 people. And the only thing that Gideon and his 300 had against the enemy armies were trumpets and lanterns lit with the torches inside. That's all they had. I would say that's pretty foolish to go out to battle against an army that has you so outnumbered that you don't have a chance. Why would Gideon step out and obey the Lord with such ridiculous weapons of war, knowing that you can't defeat anybody with them? He did it through faith, because God told him to. It wasn't Gideon taking it upon himself to believe and step out and pick the most ridiculous way to fight a war in order to put God on the spot. At some point in time, after putting out the fleece, continually putting out the fleece to question the Lord as to his calling for his life, there came a point in time where he obeyed the persuasion of the Lord to step out with 300 people and defeat the opposing army. But he knew he didn't defeat them, it was the Lord. And that's why the Lord whittled the army down to 300 people, so God told him, so that the glory would be all of God and not of man. To step out and trust the Lord took faith. Then there's our invisible man, Barak, who in Judges chapters 4 and 5, God gave him 10,000 men to go out and fight Jabin, the Canaanite king, who himself had 900 chariots of iron. And his army was like the sand of the sea. God only gave him 10,000 people. And he went out with 10,000 people under the direction of the Lord. Again, God telling them so that the victory would be of the Lord and not of him. And he obeyed. Samson, we all know the story about Samson. He was known for his physical strength. But once his physical strength was gone, which was symbolized by his hair was not his strength, but it was a symbol of God's strength that in him. It was at his weakest moment. After his hair had been cut and he had given in to Delilah and he was now physically weak, it was when he was physically weak that God empowered him to push those pillars and bring down the Colosseum porch upon the enemy. It wasn't when he was strong that his greatest achievement came, but when he was weak, he was empowered in weakness. And it was all by faith. Can you imagine in your strongest time in your life, when you're at your prime and you're trusting the Lord and you're going with all of this strength, and then God leaves the biggest task until you're weak, when you have to obey the Lord without any physical strength. You have to step out trusting Him that he will provide. Jephthah, in Judges chapter 11, Jephthah conquered the Ammonites, trusting the Lord, just like Gideon and just like Barak. David, we all know of David, we know of his weaknesses, we know of his sins. He's called a man after God's own heart. He's a friend of God. We all know the story of David and Goliath, how he went out and faced the giant when no one else would face him. According to the scriptures, he did it through faith, through the persuasion of God that God would be with him, that he and God are the majority. He went out and defeated Goliath. Then there's Samuel. Samuel didn't fight in any battle. Samuel was representing the Lord to God's people. His battle was idolatry and immorality. He, by faith, came to God's people and preached repentance and preached against their idol worship and their immorality. In order to go against the tide of sinners, you have to go by faith. He did it by faith. And also the prophets. That's the seventh one mentioned in the list. The prophets in general, all the prophets functioned through faith, through listening to and trusting the persuasion of God's Spirit upon them. Verse 33. Who, meaning all seven of these people, who through faith they overcame kingdoms. All the battles fought were fought in the circumstance of a lack of human resource, and it was all done by the power and for the glory of God. They worked righteousness. Samuel's working righteousness, what's right in the sight of God, in the midst of an immoral and idolatrous people. They obtained promises through faith. God gave His promises that if God obeyed, there would be promises involved. They obtained promises through faith. They stopped the mouths of lions. The plural would indicate that he's making mention of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, the book of Daniel. This would be Daniel. The ceasing of fire, quenching of fire, would be Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. But the closing of the mouths of lions, Daniel was thrown down into the lion's den. And in order to be eaten by the lions, his trust in the Lord, that he would be preserved, closed the mouths of the lions. And then we have quenching the power of fire. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They didn't go in claiming power, God's power, over the power of fire. They basically said before they were thrown into the furnace, you can throw us in the furnace all you want to, but no matter what, even though we are consumed by the fire, we can't burn. You can't kill us. So they threw him into the furnace, so hot that even the men died who were throwing them into the furnace. And they looked in, and not only did they see Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, but they saw a fourth person that looked like the Son of Man. They pulled them out unscathed. And it's not because they claimed a faith to quench or extinguish the power of fire. It's just they trusted the Lord for whatever was going to happen. It was through faith that they submitted to the torture of fire and they came out unscathed. They fled the edges of the sword. They were empowered from weakness. Example would be Samson. God did His greatest work in him and through him, not when he was strong, but when he was weak, he was empowered. Literally, the word empowered means empowered. He was powered within, in the midst of his human weakness. They became strong in war. This tells us that God infused the warriors with His strength for battle. They caused the armies of the foreigners to yield. Some of your text translations read, made them flee, made them run. It's klino is the word for to bend. They made them yield. This was all through faith, because they did not have the human resources or the human abilities to defeat people. They made the armies of the enemies to yield. Verse 35, the tenth thing is that women received their dead from out of the resurrection. That's what it says. It uses the word resurrection. Women received their dead out of resurrection. In 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah raised up the child of the widow. Women received their dead back, just as in Jesus' time. So in the Old Testament, it was through faith, not the faith of Elijah, but it was through the persuading of God's Spirit that God would raise the dead, that women received their dead back again. But it's interesting at the end of verse 35, which is the last and the 11th thing mentioned in this first part of the list, you begin to see a change. Though women received their dead from out of resurrection, others were beaten to death. Interesting, this Greek word is the same word in music terms for the kettle drum. They were stretched over the surface of a kettle drum-like object and taken and beaten with sticks until they died. Others were beaten, not having received their deliverance, the purpose for it, in order that they might obtain a better resurrection. So what it's really showing is that a person, whether they're delivered miraculously or whether they die in persecution for their faith, it's all a faith. When these people died, it was their time and it was God's choosing that they die. And they accepted that. Because every situation that you enter, you don't know whether it's going to be a deliverance or whether it's going to be a death. And most of these people, like Isaiah, tradition tells us about Isaiah that he was cut in two with a wooden saw. Yet God did miraculous things with him and through him and all of his messages just to stand up and prophesy against a nation, a people who were opposed to God. And then, all of a sudden, to die a terrible death. But it's listed under through faith. Through faith he died. That means the person who died was persuaded that this was God's way for him to go. It's a very interesting, when you understand the alignment and the grammar structure of the text, we have a tendency to just look at what we consider the positive, miraculous things that are done, that those things being done through faith we can understand. But what about the death? What about the suffering? What about the persecution? All of these verbs are working in conjunction with the phrase through faith. Whether they got delivered or whether they were martyred, whether they were miraculously saved from death or whether they died. I've gone through a couple of incidents myself when I should have died. And yet there was some kind of a protective, invisible shield around me. I could sense it in the accidents. And the one on Telephone Road where I was broadsided by the car, I was at perfect peace. I was just enveloped by this invisible whatever. And the same thing with the 166 accident. In a matter of many seconds, either way, being too fast or too slow, or being out in the middle of nowhere and getting at the sinkhole right when the car from the other way was going over, that made me hit the brakes and I was spared. But when I die, nothing will be there to spare me. If I die while still in this area and you still know me, if you go to the funeral home and see my dead body, you know it's time, you know? And it'll be by faith. It'll be my time to go. And it'll be through faith. Now you say, how can faith be attributed to something so negative and so horrible? Any questions that we have about the tsunamis, about the earthquakes, about the hurricanes, about all the deaths and all the terrible things that happen, you can only go to the cross and see what God the Father did by sending His Son. And He ordained Him and chose Him to submit Himself to suffering at the hands of sinners and to die a horrible death on the cross. In John chapter 12, the Lord mentioned that a seed must fall into the ground and die, that there must be death before there is life. We die daily. Both our physical bodies are dying. It's decaying. We call it aging. but in reality, we're dying. It's giving way. One day it'll stop functioning correctly and we'll die. But both the miraculous salvation process, as far as the human element is concerned, as well as the death process, it's all through faith. The people who had to suffer in order to follow what God wanted them to do are right up there with the people who performed the miracles, or God performed the miracles through them. It is all through faith. We have a tendency to think that only the positive, good human things are by faith. God, the God of love, certainly wouldn't allow us to go through difficulty and hardship like that. Well, He does. Even if you don't want to attribute it directly to Him, He's in charge of it. He could stop it anytime He wants to. He could hinder Satan from doing anything that he wants to do. God allows it. There's a purpose in it. There's a message in it. Some people live a miraculous life and some people die a horrible death, and it's all through faith. What about those five missionaries that went over to, this was several years ago, and went over to testify and minister to a group, tribes people that were separated from civilization, and they ministered Jesus Christ to them, and the tribal clan killed them. And it is interesting that the wives of those missionaries that were killed later went back to the same tribe and to minister to them, the same people that killed their husbands. They went back and ministered to them and told them why the husbands had come and what the message was all about, and the people got saved. It was all by faith. Their death was part of God's message. Their death was part of God's plan. It was all through faith. It was through faith that they went, and through faith that they died. For the wives, it was through faith that they went, and through faith that the tribe people got saved. We have to gain this understanding. We cannot close out the suffering and hardship and difficulty in the flesh as being not of God. It is of God. It is through faith. It is only through faith that we can go through things like that, knowing its purpose and knowing that it has a reason. There are some who will not accept it. Paul calls them enemies of the cross of Christ. That the cross of Christ is not relevant. That we don't have to take up our cross daily and follow the Lord. But yes, we do. That's Christ's message. But they don't want that message. We will continue next week and finish out this chapter as we get into some of the testimonies of those who still through faith suffered horrible circumstances, even horrible deaths, from our perspective. Yet it was all through faith. It was God's persuasion, God's ministry in their life that led them down the path to receive it as being from the Lord. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You again for Your Word that brings Your testimony to our hearts. We thank You that through what we consider the good times and the difficult times, that You are there to persuade us and to minister in us and through us. Help us to be aware and to be receptive to the fact that it might be Your will that we suffer, or others might suffer that we know, in order to work out Your purpose and Your plan. It is only through faith, trusting You, knowing You, that we can live and approach these circumstances in peace. We pray that You'd work in our hearts and lives through the difficult times, receiving it as from You, knowing that You want us to live through faith and trusting You. All for the purpose that we might experience Christ and His resurrection power. We pray that by Your Spirit You would help us to understand these things, because we struggle with things that we don't understand. But help us to understand it and receive it, commit it to You, and be at peace, because it is Your will that we submit to, and it's Your will that's being worked out in our lives. We just thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.